Welcome back to No Chill with Gilbert Arenas. We're out here in Cleveland for 2022 All-Star Weekend at the Brew Dog Outpost. We got a special guest for you today. Born and raised in Toledo, the pride of Toledo, Ohio. He's got two brands, Midwest Kids, and also his namesake, Daryl Brown. And he's partnered up with Adidas for a special activation All-Star Weekend. We got the legend Daryl Brown in the building. What's going on with you, man?
What's up? Thank you for having me, man.
Yeah, we appreciate you.
This is amazing.
So before we get in the interview, I got to ask, you came through, obviously fitted, but with the kicks, bro. You got to tell me about them shoes, man. What's going on with these?
So I'm wearing my second shoe with Adidas, slated to come out later on this year. We're aiming for the summer. It's a Campus Low. I went with a gum sole because before I started wearing Adidas, I mean, like really wearing them, I would always wear like the skater shoes. You know what I mean? They always had the gum sole, so I went with the gum sole. I went with a Jade Stone Green because my father, he worked at Chrysler for like 20, 30 years, retired, but his uniform was Jade.
Okay.
You know what I mean? I'm junior. He's senior, so I put his name on it. I feel like it was, you know, he worked at the factory all them years to like provide for me and my little brothers and sisters. It would be like, it's like homage, paying back homage. Here I am years later. I got my own shoe, put it the same color as his uniform and put his name on it. You know what I mean?
Gil, do you have those?
No, I haven't.
You will have these.
No, I can't. I got to wait till they drop.
We'll have these.
You got to make both, like, but I'm going to have them.
Both of y'all will have these.
I need 14. I got you. So you born and raised in Toledo. You were a track star before making the move into fashion.
Yep.
But I want to know, how did the Midwest kind of impact you, your roots, your style, and everything that's going on with the fashion stuff?
I think for me, it just gave me, like, you know, Midwest is like real blue collar. You know, real, like, people that just, you know, keep your head down and work hard. You know, we just kind of like get it done in the Midwest. You know, we don't really have access to like the glitz and the glamour and stuff like that. People age quicker here, you know what I mean? Because it's like, it's really just like head down, you're working, you know what I mean? So that's kind of like the approach that I take in everything I do. You know, I know how to just get the job done, you know what I mean? And I use I remember like one time I'm like living in New York and I go to a Western Union to get and pick up the money, whatever, and I tell the guy, thank you. And then he's like, you're not from here, are you? And I just kind of like, I was like, yeah, because, you know, in New York, the rules, they ask you where you from. You're like, I'm from here, you know what I mean? So I'm like, yeah. I'm like, I'm from here. And he's like, no, you're not. I'm like, yes, I am. He's like, I'm like, no, okay, I'm from Ohio. He was like, oh, okay, I knew it. You got all them manners. Like,
you got all them manners.
All them manners. He was like, I haven't heard of nobody tell me, like, thank you in like a month. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? He was like, you know, don't lose those manners. So I like to think that like Midwest is kind of like built who I am. You know what I mean?
Was it hard to break into fashion, being from, you know, the Midwest?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't necessarily say hard. It was just like the know-how. You know, I started as a stylist. I didn't even know what a stylist was until I was like 21.
Yeah.
Like one of my homies, like Ted Ginn Jr. You know what I mean? They used to play football. Yeah, like we were like talking and stuff, and I got relationship with other different athletes. My friends that are athletes, and they're like, man, you should be a stylist. You should be a model.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, what? Like, I'm thinking tall, skinny white boys with blonde hair, blue eyes. I'm like, I cannot be a model. You know, I didn't even realize like print modeling and all that stuff. And then they're like, well, you should be a stylist. I'm like, what's a stylist? They're like, oh, you know, that's the person that like, you know, do all the wardrobe for the athletes, entertainers. That blew my mind.
Mm-hmm.
I thought people always just had money, had access to means, and they just get dressed.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah.
So to realize that it was even a profession like that, you know, was just like an eye-opener. And that's when I immediately got on it. But for me, it wasn't so much of being hard. It was more so like just the know-how. You don't even have. When I was first telling people I was a stylist, they was like, when you start doing hair, bro? You do hair? I'm like, what? You know, so that, I think that was more the major thing. Because once I got to New York, I kind of felt like wow, like being from the Midwest, like they have all these things at their toolbox was so full.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm about to get to work. Like, let's go. Like, we don't got this back home. Like, I'm going to take advantage of it.
So you mentioned you're a stylist and all that. We're going to get into all that stuff. But first and foremost, I got to ask, you were a railroad conductor before you got into the style game. So just tell me, how did you get into the railroad conducting game? Like, I mean, you got to take tests. What's the process for becoming a railroad conductor?
It's crazy. So I'm like home on college break, kind of like in like second year of college, figuring out what I'm gonna do. And I'm like home and I'm like staying with my dad. You know, my dad is on me like, you need to get a job. You gotta get a job. And one day, like my dad was like coaching my brother's like little league basketball team, like him and his friend, Clarence or whatever. And like afterwards, we're sitting there, you know, my dad do the typical, man, my son need a job, man, he got to get a job. You know, he ragging on me to his friend. And his friend like, oh, I work at the railroad. Like, we about to do a hiring session. Like, you should come. And my dad like, yep, he going to be there. I'm like, all right. So I literally show up to like the they had like the hiring session at like this hotel in like the conference room. And when I get there, it was like 100 men in there. But like at the time, I'm like 21 years old. I probably didn't, it was like everybody was in there like mid 30s and 40s. It was like 100 people. Mm-hmm. It was all sitting down ready to take a test and all that. And I was like, oh, I'm at the wrong place. Like, I'm about to leave. Like, I'm not even about to get hired. Mm-hmm. But I was just like, let me just stay and go through the process because my father, you know what I mean? So long story short, you know, we it's a whole day of like watching videos and films. And then we take this test at the end, right? And the guy tells us, the test is 15 minutes. It's like 200 questions. Yeah. He said, you only get graded on the questions that you answer.
Out of 200?
Out of 200. Because everybody's like, 15 minutes, 200 questions. Oh, like, what is going on? Mm-hmm. Like, all this stuff I had to learn. Like, so I was like, okay. Soon as the time went, I skimmed through all 200 questions. And I came back. I only answered like 11 questions. I left the rest blank. I scored the top three highest scores in the class.
I feel like that's maybe not something you want the world to know.
Answer. Like, you know, you only going to, because it was like, what if we don't finish? Like, you only going to get graded on what you answer. I know these answers are right. Yeah. That's all I'm answering.
That's what I'm saying. I would have did like one. I know this for sure.
Yeah, I'm gonna just go ahead literally, and pick that one. So I scored top, top three in that class, and I was sent to Georgia for railroad school. Yep. Yeah, and it's actually crazy where we're sitting at. Like, the first few times I ever came to Cleveland, outside of being in high school for like running or something like that, was on a train.
Was it?
Drove a train right up here and parked it. Like, literally. Like, wow. You see me, like, it's like real industrial. We're not too far from like the railroad tracks and all that stuff. Yeah, like, same first time I've ever been to Chicago, parked the train next to the White Sox Stadium.
Like, do we have trains in Cali?
I believe, yeah. We got like Amtrak and all that type of drugs.
Oh, right. Yeah.
We're at?
Yeah.
I've never been on a train. I've never been on a train.
That's for mediocre pockets. We can take the train to San Diego or up north a little bit.
Yeah. Yep. But they got railroad out there. It's like BNSF and Canadian Northern. Yeah. And then on the East Coast is Norfolk Southern Railroad and CSX.
Okay. You
know, so it's like two and two. Because when we go to Chicago, that's when the West Coast trains take over the trip. Okay. You know what I mean? Like, say
that had to be kind of fun, though.
It was amazing.
Like, you get to watch the world.
I'm traveling every day. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And then I describe it like I'm being able to ride the alleyways of America. Mm. You know what I mean? You like the railroad has been around since the beginning of, you know what I'm saying, the United States. So it's like, when you ride on a train, we're like two stories up on there, and you're like seeing some of the wildest stuff you've ever seen before.
What's the craziest thing you've seen while you were becoming a railroad conductor?
For me, one time I seen like a flock of deer.
Okay.
They were like we were coming up, and they were just like bouncing across the track, like bouncing. But they're like running from one field, coming through the woods, coming through another. But it was like really... Yeah, it's deer, but it was like just seeing them, and like, it was like 20 of them, and they're just running, flying through, like that was like crazy. And then just like for me, like being behind certain things that you've never seen before, like seeing waterfalls, mountains, like stuff that you can't go by a car.
No.
You know what I mean? You can only go by a railroad. Seeing, for example, ride down the expressway and seeing like a river or going over a bridge, but then like having that same view from the railroad track. You know what I mean? You're like, oh, I never seen this side. That's why I say it's like the alleyway of America. You know what I mean? Like, for example, I parked the train next to White Sox Stadium, but that's from the railroad point of view.
Yeah.
People walk into the stadium on the other side every day. They don't have that experience to know, like, it's the trains running behind it, stuff like that. You know what I mean? Yep.
Well, let's talk about, obviously, your career now with the fashion, the styling. So tell me a little bit how you got plugged with Machine Gun Kelly and kind of really kind of made your entryway into the whole stylist game.
So Machine Gun Kelly actually was like my first real official client. That's like my bro, like literally, like I tell him this all the time, like, bro, you changed my life. Like, you get what I'm saying? He'd be like, no, man, you great. You was always gonna be you. And I'm like, true, but it's like, you know, like certain people in your life that's pivotal, and you like, yo, if I didn't have that springboard to, you know, So at the time, I'm like living in Toledo, Ohio. I'm working for the railroad. And then on my days off, I'm helping a friend of mine run like a streetwear boutique. It's like a store or whatever. That was on like the college campus. And we would like throw like, it's like 2009. We would throw like local concerts and stuff. Like we booked like Wiz Khalifa for like $5,000, Big Sean and Machine Gun Kelly for $150 in gas money. And threw
$150 to MGK and some gas money.
$150 to MGK for gas money, $5,000 to Wiz Khalifa, and like Big Sean was like the homie price, you know what I mean? And we threw a whole show, like a concert with them. This like, everybody's like, nobody signed. We just like young in Ohio trying to make it, you know, they Pittsburgh, Detroit, you know, stuff like that. So we would throw like these, like these local shows and stuff. And that the one particular Machine Gun Kelly was on. And like he walked up to me, I was wearing like a red hoodie, like a hoodie I ordered off like Karma Loop. You know what I mean? And he walked up to me. And he's like, "Hey, man, like, I really like that hoodie, man. Like, that's dope. Like, where did you get it from?" I was like, "Oh, I can get you one. Like, I'm a stylist." Mm-hmm. He was like, "You a stylist?" I could tell, like, the look was like, "I'm in Toledo. What are you talking about?" Like, you know what I mean? And from then on, our relationship started. Like, literally, like, I got him that hoodie. And then the next day, he was like, "Man, I'm shooting a video in, like, 2 weeks in Cleveland." And I would literally use my railroad money, take my checks, buy his clothes, put them in it. It was like, I just believed though.
What is the process like mentally when you're styling different people? Like, are you trying to envision like certain styles that fits with their bone structure?
It's like a little both. Like I try to just make people look the best them, like turn them up. Like, you know what I mean? So like if I was working with you or something, I just like want to get your vibe, your taste, like what you even like to wear, what you even into, and then I would just try to like enhance that to the 10th power versus changing you and making you be like, no, I need you to look like this. This is what we doing. Okay. You would be surprised how many people do not like getting dressed, how many people do not like shopping, even some of your favorite dressed people, they hate it. They don't like to do that. You know what I mean? So I try to just focus on what's going to be the easiest process and then helping somebody make look the best them. Now you're in certain situations, you got a theme or a plan where it's like, okay, we're going for this look. So you try to achieve that. But for the most part, I stick with who it is and I just try to turn it up a little bit. You know what I'm saying?
So let's go to 2015 now. You're out here, you're making waves in the stylist game.
Yeah.
Then you get a call from Kanye's team.
It's crazy.
You know, this is what, Yeezy Season 3 show, Life of Pablo. They were doing a listening party in Madison Square Garden.
And that came from MGK.
Okay.
And the MGK plug. Full circle moments, you know what I mean? So I'm living in New York, and Machine Gun, you know, he's like living in Los Angeles and stuff. And his hairstylist at the time, this girl by the name of Morgan, she was like his hairstylist, but she was also an assistant for the Yeezy team on their styling or whatever. So she's like telling, you know, just normal conversation. She's like telling MGK and his team, Ashley, she's telling them how, oh, I have to go to, you know, normal conversation. We have to go to New York. It's like this huge show that Kanye is working on. We have all these people. We're going to have to go there. I'm going to have to hire a bunch of people to help us, you know, boom, 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 when we get to New York. Do you know anybody just offhand that you can recommend ahead of time? And they thought of me. So Ashley, MG Kenham, that reached out to me and was like, "Hey, bro, you still living in New York, right? You still, I'm gonna connect you with Morgan." So I connected him and the rest was history. You know, I like helped set up the Pablo show. That was like a 2-week process. Then we did a big Madison Square Garden show. I went through that whole experience. I was like, wow, this is amazing. And then that came and went. After that went, I went back to my normal life. That was it. And then I didn't think nothing of it. I was just grateful for the opportunity to meet Kanye and work for the Pablo whole, you know, how big that was at the time. I was like, wow, okay, this was amazing. And then fast forward, literally, this was February and August. I literally wake up one morning. I'm sitting there using the bathroom, scrolling through my phone, and I get an email out of nowhere, and it says, "Is this Daryl Brown? Are you still in the fashion?" And I'm looking at the email like, what type of encrypted what is this? And I'm like, so I answer, I'm like, yeah. And like, they literally like tell me like, hey, we remember you from the Yeezy show. Like, you did really well. You know, we're about to, Kanye's about to go on tour. You know, we feel like we want to bring on a new wardrobe assistant, like a buffer, like somebody that can be with him every day and stuff like that on a day-to-day basis. And it was like, wow, okay, like, and you want me to do that? Like, you know what I mean? So, yeah, that was kind of like it. It was like 8 o'clock in the morning. It was like, can you be at this address? By 11 a.m., we're all black. Yeah. I was like, I'll be there.
You said, yeah, we're all black?
We're all black. And I got there, and, man, rest is history.
It was, that's crazy.
It's been amazing, amazing process. I went like through like a two-day, I call it like a probation period, I feel. Like, where I went through like 2 or 3 days of just doing stuff in New York, and then it was like crickets for like 2 days. And out of nowhere, it was like, I got hit back up. You got passport, you got laptop. You got this, you got that. You know, I do Photoshop. We going on tour. Like, you know what I mean? That's it, you know?
Happened so fast.
Yeah. But that's literally how it is. Like, you grind your whole life just to feel like it happened overnight.
And that's, you know, that's the crazy thing about just anything that, like, you know, as athletes were taught, you know, be ready.
Yeah.
Stay ready so you don't have to get ready.
Yep. My mom always telling me
that. Yeah. So, you know, you're talking about, you know, you did something in February and August, and it's like, can you be ready in 3 hours? You're like,
exactly.
Yeah, I've been training.
Exactly. And two, it was dope because it showed you that, like, somebody's always watching. Always watching. I would have never thought that. I'm like, what? Like, wait, what? Somebody's always watching. When you least expect it, somebody is always watching, you know?
You've seen a ton of people wearing your gear.
Yeah.
But you had a fellow Ohio native, LeBron James.
Yeah.
Rocking your hoodie, New Year's Eve a few years ago. How cool was that for you to see LeBron rocking something that you designed?
It was the most amazing thing ever. It was pure manifestation.
Mm-hmm.
Because, okay, I have my namesake brand, Daryl Brown. It's more of a, like, it's cut and sew. So I'm creating from scratch. It's a production thing. It's more of a process. So I'm going through the process of making that, and then as I'm sitting, I'm like, okay, so I got to wait 3 months to get samples, this, that, and the third. But I needed something to feed my creativity.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where Midwest Kids came about. I'm like, Midwest Kids, I could drop hoodies and T-shirts every day. I can get ideas off. Like, I'll use this to, like, get those ideas off and to, like, hold me over while I'm waiting for the process of this. So as I'm, like, wearing, the hoodie and stuff, I instantly thought of, like, Bron. Like, oh, Bron is going to wear this.
Yeah.
I'm telling my friends, like, we're going to the games, like, you know, all the playoffs games, Cleveland. Like, that's when it was, like, the championship run year. We're at all the games. I'm screaming. Bron don't know this. Bron don't know that I was screaming at him. I was screaming, Bron, like, you know, doing all this stuff. And then I'm, like, in Paris one day for Fashion Week, and I'm sitting in this restaurant, and I noticed that, like, only me and the only black guy in there was sitting next to each other, you know, but it was, like, real cool. You know, we was cool with each other, and we sparked up a conversation, but we both was, like, being very discreet about what we do and what we were there for, you know. And then towards the end of the conversation, I kind of felt like we felt comfortable, like, oh, we about to part ways. By the way, I'm such and such. So he let me know that he was LeBron stylist, my guy Brennan. He let me, he's like, I'm LeBron stylist. I was like, oh. I'm Kanye West stylist, like, you know what I mean? So it was like a moment. So then when I fast forward, when I do the Midwest Kids thing, he hit me up like, yo, we need one, you know, for the king, you know, stuff like that. So I'm like, all right. I sent them the hoodie like early December, you know. You know how it is. You're looking through the phone every day. You're like, oh, he ain't even about to wear it, bro. So on New Year's Eve, I wake up. My phone is like going crazy. I'm like, I look, and he wore it to his birthday party on his own. Like, just got fitted, went to the birthday party. So that was even more real. It was, like, intimate, got, you know, Mav and Rich. That was, you know, as a kid growing up and just, you know, we were all, like, the same age, but they're so, like inspiring their impact to, like, Midwest Kids across. So that was just, like, I was like, yo, like, because he knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
When he get dressed and he put the hoodie on, he knows that they're going to change somebody's life. They're going to, like, really, like, big somebody up. So that meant a lot to me. I was like, wow, like, and it felt like real manifestation.
Yeah.
I was screaming, I told y'all, like, so yeah. And since then, he's like, wore hats, other different things. So that showed me that he's, you know what I mean? Like, we actually even did something, a collaboration with Uninterrupted for Chicago's All-Star Week and stuff like that. So yeah, I definitely, that was like major. His support was major. That was like a dream come true.
Yeah, for sure. Yep. You know, when LeBron shows love, he shows major.
Yeah, he does.
He don't do no half stuff.
Like, he hit one of my tweets last year, and I'm just like, oh,
yeah.
But
yeah,
then, like, went back and forth, right. Like, damn, you real? You a real human? Like, yeah, I didn't know you was on Twitter
real,
like
man.
That, bro.
Real solid dude, man. Yeah. That was amazing, for sure.
So let's talk a little bit while you out here this weekend. You partnered up with Adidas for the Made Possible campaign for All-Star Weekend, which I think is an amazing thing as I did some research on it. So tell us a little bit about what that Made Possible campaign is all about.
Okay, so coming into the release of my second shoe, I've been telling Adidas for like 2 years now, All-Star Weekend Cleveland, that's going to be huge. It hasn't happened in like 20 years. Mm-hmm. We need to drop the second shoe, you know. COVID happened. Life, everything, schedules getting pushed back, production. Yeah. So they were like, it's like November, they was like, hey, Daryl, we're not going to be able to release the shoe for All-Star, but we would love to launch a campaign, you know? So it's like, okay. And we kind of like brainstorm, like, what would that be? Because I'm not like, the partnerships I do, I try to, I'm just built different. So I'm going for different stuff. I'm looking at like, what would I want to see, you know? And usually, you know, All-Star Week, a lot of companies that, they attack it all the same way. Let's go get the most hottest rappers. Let's go get the most popping basketball players right now. Let's put them all in our stuff. Let's throw a party. Let's do this and do that. And, you know, put the product out. And for me, that comes off a little tone deaf sometimes. Like, people, real Midwest people, they don't care about none of that. Like, they really don't care, you know. So I was like, How could we like do something that's like impactful versus me just feeling like I'm flexing on my city, I'm flexing on y'all, pull up. Like, you know, I'm like, how could I do something that like really resonate with people and stuff like that? And he was like, okay, let's go for the workers, you know, the working class, because everything is made possible by them, you know, like the Cavs team or basketball team is like 15 to 20 players plus coaches. It's like they're like 30 deep. Mm-hmm. But the arena workers, they're like 250 to 500 workers every game.
Yep.
You need like 20 people just to turn the lights on.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, and then when everybody leaves, they're going to clean up all the trash. They're going to make it look brand new for the next day. And they're doing it every game, every hockey game, basketball game, just that and the third. So I was like, they're all stars too.
Mm-hmm.
And then Adidas was like, yeah, it's made possible by them. Like, the game is made possible by them. So we come up with a plan to pick our own All-Star squad. Like, yo, let's pick 15 to 20 of them that, you know, if they agree, they want to be a part of it. All ages, all races, like, and use real people to be our models. Instead of me going to book these people to model and, you know, get 15 beautiful-looking people and all this. Oh, let's get real people, you know, real people that people can relate to, that they can kind of like see themselves, you know, and kind of like pay homage to the working class, let them know that we see you. You're not just like the help, you know what I mean? You're not just like, it's a moment for you too. Like, everybody's having a moment within each moment, you know what I mean? Like, at the game, when LeBron hit the buzzer beater, the crowd go out, that's everybody's moment.
Yeah.
Not just the fans. Like, you can remember, I was there that day serving the popcorn. The night this happened, I cleaned up the arena. You know, so many different things. And behind the scenes, so many different things are happening that we never could imagine or fathom and stuff like that. So I just thought it was, like, a super cool way to use them. And it's been really – we did a shoot in Cleveland. You know what I mean? That was real full production. So you got workers. They never even been on the set before.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And the shoot went really well, and the people has been really receiving it. That was more – important for me, you know what I mean, for the people to see it and feel it. So I'm excited, man. It's dope.
Yeah, when I was playing and I was creating my shoes, you know, we have that traditional basketball.
Yep.
And I'm like, that's not it.
Uh-huh.
Like, there's so many basketball players, but there's more people in this world.
Yeah.
So all my shoes is low top. I said everyone likes low top shoes.
Yep.
Everyone likes regular shoes. So all my stuff was designed, right, for just everyday wear.
Man, that's so funny you said that, because I literally said that same exact thing to Adidas. Yeah. I said, The shoe I want, both of my shoes are low top. I said, the shoe I want, I don't want you to feel like, oh, I got to pull these out when I got my fit on and my nice clothes. No, I want you to wear them every day.
Yeah.
I want you to wear them to work. Like my mom, she works at the hospital. She's wearing them to work. My dad is wearing them to work. Like my friends is wearing. I want you to wear it every day. I want them to get character. I want them to get scuffed, get beat up. Like, I want to be a part of your life. I don't want to be sitting in the box. These the grails. Nah. Put me on, man. Yeah. Right. Like, wear me. Like, show. Like, so when, I want people to see me. You know what I mean? Yeah. I don't want to make product that intimidate people, make people feel like you got to be of a certain status or of a certain. I want people to be like, nah, that's. I want, when they see my brands or see me, they know, like, nah, he got us. He gonna deliver something real, and it's going to resonate, and it's going to be a good product, too. Because, you know, we've been cool. We've been had some money. At this point in my life, it's not about that. You know, it's about, like, really trying to, I'm trying to live forever. Even though we going to leave in the flesh, but the work, the impact that you make while you're alive, you kind of live forever. Yeah. You get what I'm saying? So
what makes me happy with the whole process is because I think I was one of the first ones with Adidas that was trying to get them to branch off.
Yeah.
So my second shoe, I got Spalding. I got Spalding with me. I'm on the cover of 2K. I'm in the Xbox. I said, you know what? I want to do a round table. So I said, all you guys are invested in me.
Right.
I said, my second shoe, we need to all collab.
Exactly.
We need to all have a piece of this.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I want everyone, go home, come up with a concept of what your shoe look like.
Right.
I want you, so Spalding did one, Slam Magazine did one, Xbox did a colorway, Underground did a colorway.
Fire.
It was a Chinese company. Three zeros.
Yep.
They did a company. Yep. So I had 20 different colorways. So I was the first one to understand what collabing was. Like,
exactly.
Like, it ain't about basketball. It's about just life. Just trying to introduce
and
everyone
bringing them all together.
For the same goal.
You know what I mean?
I was trying to sign, this is before, I was trying to sign Lil Wayne.
Wow.
It was the Carter threes, right? It was gonna be the Carter. It was gonna be. I heard a Lollipop.
Okay.
Lollipop, and I was like, oh nah, I need Lil Wayne.
Yeah.
So I was like, he's crossing over. I said, he's crossing over. Adidas was like, rappers can't sell shoes, and I'm like,
look at this. Today.
And then he blows up, and they're like, we missed it.
It's crazy.
It's like, you know, sometimes they don't understand.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes, you know, people don't understand. So when you're so creative and you're so fast forward, it's kind of hard to follow that vision.
No, definitely. You got to kind of slow down.
So you're sitting there just, like, beating on the door, trust me.
Yep, no, definitely.
So that's why I was asking, was it hard to break in? Because, you know, your vision is so, you know, it's so fast.
For me, I think with Adidas, they more so was like, wow. Like, you get what I mean? Like, this is what you want to do. Because, you know, they work with so many different creatives and athletes. So for me to come and be like, I want to do like this and I want to move like this, they can do this. My concepts and what I'm trying to do, they can do this all day with their eyes closed.
Yeah.
They are just shocked in a way I felt like. Like, was like a little taken back. Like, oh, this is what you want to do? Like, wow. Like, this is really cool and amazing. Like, wow, we didn't even think about this. Like, this is dope. Like, we'll support you fully on this. Like, let's go. You know what I mean? I feel like, you know, they're so used to, like, you be seeing some of these campaigns, man. Like, they're used to, like, they, you know, people asking for the moon and the stars.
Yours was simple.
Mine was like simple plan, but we gonna the end goal is still the same.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I feel like that was more of a thing, like a learning process for them. Like, this is Daryl Brown. I see what type of vibe he's on. Like, bet, let's go.
You know? See, that's like, it's good that they've realized. So you can see I'm Adidas'd up too.
Yeah, all day.
So you can see, it's like kind of cool that they've understood how the world moves. Because I understood early that, you know, like the rap community pushes fashion.
Yeah. No. Exactly.
Behind the rappers is stylists.
Exactly.
So the stylist is styling them, and that's pushing.
Yep.
So let me try to understand these visions to understand the NBA vision. So to see them like really
And then you think about it now, basketball players are the new fashion models.
Yep.
Going into the game look like a runway.
Yeah, yeah. Yep.
Like, you'll be watching Paris Fashion Week and see the Dior show and give it 3 days. Just get, let them stylists get time to get back from Paris. And then next thing you know, your favorite basketball player coming through the tunnel, dripping, got it all on, full. It's like, you know what I mean? It's like the freshest sport. Basketball is the freshest sport to me.
What's so funny is if it wasn't for the dress code, if it wasn't for the dress code, the concept of being dressed,
right,
didn't, like, we had our over baggy everything,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
But what you see now wouldn't happen if there was no dress code. Because for the most part, half of us didn't even get dressed. Yeah. We come to the gym so early, we're not wearing, like, right. I came in shorts and sandals.
Yeah,
hat, because I'm coming in, no one's seeing me. I'm leaving, no one's seeing me. So what the hell am I getting dressed for?
You got the hoodie on.
Yes.
Like, you balling.
So once they put that dress code in, it's like, oh, I got to get dressed. Where are my clothes?
Right.
Like, right? Then it's like,
bring a whole other element to the game. Yeah. Like, okay, this is what we doing.
And then now you start saying, like, he's trying to outdo me on the TNT.
Yeah,
right? So literally. Now I see him or something, I'm like, yo,
it's
hey.
It's like an actual thing.
Yeah,
like,
so now you're competing.
Exactly. I agree. Like, fashion in NBA is real.
Mm-hmm.
Like, seriously, like, them runway shows, like, that tunnel run,
that
you
tunnel
have walk. Some, no disrespect to them, I'm not going to say no names, but you have some players that are, their fashion game is bigger than their game on the court.
I can think of a few guys.
I can think of all of them. No, I'm just playing.
You know what I'm saying?
But that's true. But you gotta understand that.
They might not even play.
Yes.
But we know who they are because they come in with the fits on.
But like, that's the thing of how that dress code changed lives. Because it's like, you only looked at basketball players as basketball players.
Yeah, you did.
Right? So
did.
That camera.
They're like walking billboards now.
That camera only. Like, it'll be just like this, all right, LeBron James, Kevin Love, Kyrie, and then everybody is walking. They just turn the camera off.
It
don't
is.
Care about
that's
nothing else. But now, because of the fashion, those guys now get to be like, oh, no, I'm geared up. So now it's fit time.
Yeah.
Right now it's fit time.
Fit picks.
That might be your only chance to get on.
What's so funny is, and I think about shoes. Like, you see some players where they're NBA, they got the NBA shoes in their hand.
Carrying them.
They carrying them because they want the camera to see it. Because they ain't playing the game.
Right.
for the fans to see it, so they're holding it.
It's funny you brought that up, because that's how I knew it was real, because no one ever does that. They're not walking in the gym with the shoes on and the shoes in. That's like...
Because our shoes is already in the arena.
You know what I mean?
Our shoes is already in the arena, because before the game, you know, we go to practice a little bit. Mm-hmm. So whatever we're going to wear is
already there. So that's an extra move.
Yeah, so they just bringing it because that's how you're knowing them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They're trying to figure out, okay, I can't get Adidas deals or Nike deals, but I can go get, you know, Calvin Klein,
right.
You know, so it's trying to figure out how to market themselves.
Yeah.
So, you know what I mean?
I respect it.
Yeah,
I think it's dope. It's definitely dope for the game and just the visibility. And it's dope for a player. Like, get your money, bro.
Yeah, get it.
Like,
yeah.
You know, you got to build a life outside of the basketball, too. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, like, that's dope.
I mean, y'all changing the game, man, for real.
Like, man, thank you, man.
Because like, I still.
You know what I'm saying? Chill deal, like, man.
Y'all wasn't really around like that, so I don't really know how to dress like that, bro.
Hey, boy, you got the stylist right here. And Daryl, man, we appreciate you pulling up and have a great All-Star weekend. It was great learning about you and your story, man, everything you're doing for the community.
Thank you. I want to say I really appreciate y'all having me. Like, I done did some really amazing things, but at the end of the day, I'm still a fan of all this. Like, you get what I'm saying? I know who I am. I'm comfortable in my skin. I'm very appreciative of where I'm at, but at the same time, I'm still a fan of all this. So to be able to sit here with y'all and talk and to have my family here with me and stuff like that, this is amazing. It's like a real dream come true. I really appreciate this moment.
Next up, you, Pharrell, and Beyonce, do a little collab.
You feel me?
That'll be different, bro.
You feel me?
Yeah.
Come on, man. Anything is possible.
Yeah.
Anything is possible. The power of manifestation, you know? So y'all heard it here first.
We appreciate y'all. This has been No Chill with Gilbert Arenas. We'll be back in more.